Coming up next is an interview with Jim Blake. He's the CEO of Unity World Headquarters. I asked Jim first about the history of Unity and founders Charles and Myrtle Fillmore.
Unity began in the late 1800s and early 1900s as really just a spiritual movement based on a set of teachings. It was founded by Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, a set of teachings that prescribe, I would say, a positive, progressive approach to living with a message of inherent self-worth and wholeness. And over time, that expanded. It's really kind of a great story. It expanded into over what is now a 100-year-old prayer ministry, a pretty prolific publishing ministry, and even over 600 churches in North America and probably another several hundred globally. So it's really turned into a global movement over time, over the last 100-plus years. Basically, the founder, Myrtle Fillmore, healed herself from tuberculosis. And upon doing so, people were so moved by that, they began to write her and ask if she could pray for them. And that grew and grew and grew to where she had to have her friends and colleagues begin to help her. And so she would handwrite a response to every person that wrote her and asked for prayer. And that eventually became what is now known as Silent Unity. And Charles Fillmore, her husband, was a very astute businessman. He was also very much into cutting-edge technology. So at the time, the telephone had just become prominent in North America. And so he immediately said, well, let's adopt this new device called the telephone and allow people to call for prayer. And so thus the telephone prayer ministry was born and is still in effect today. And we take over 2 million calls a year via this telephone prayer ministry, plus the written requests that come in. So you can call anytime, night or day, 24/7, 365, doesn't matter. And whatever your prayer request is, someone here will pray with you using Unity's affirmative prayer method.
And what is Jim's main job as a CEO?
There are two organizations in North America. I would call them sister organizations. And I serve as the CEO of what's called Unity World Headquarters, and that's a campus here in the middle of North America, just outside of Kansas City, Unity Village. We're our own city. It's a 1,400-acre campus, and the prayer ministry that I mentioned is here. It's a telephone prayer ministry that's evolving into other forms of technology. My role is really to oversee those ministries and provide direction around those, as well as innovation in terms of how we might grow those and how we might get these teachings further out into the world.
The five basic principles of Unity are the following. 1. God is the source and creator of all. There is no other enduring power. God is good and present everywhere. 2. We are spiritual beings, created in God's image. The Spirit of God lives within each person. Therefore, all people are inherently good. 3. We create our life experiences through our way of thinking. 4. There is power in affirmative prayer, which we believe increases our connection to God. And 5. Knowledge of these spiritual principles is not enough. We must live them.
These are really the foundational principles that all the rest of the teachings are born out of. And they couched it in Christianity, but he's famous for saying, these teachings are they're trans-denominational. He called them trans-denominational, meaning his desire was for them to supersede any particular religion. So they would make a Buddhist a better Buddhist, a Christian a better Christian, and so on and so forth. Here in the West, at the time especially, there was in Christianity, there was this belief that humans were less than and that they were born into this idea of sin and so forth. And so this idea that you're a part of this divine energy and come from it and are this divine energy expressing, all of a sudden gave people a different feeling about who they were and who they are and changes their feeling of self-worth.
The most important thing for Charles Fillmore was to make it clear that Unity was transdenominational. Its teachings were meant to change over time. Unity to this day has always been a place to have an open dialogue, regardless of worldview or religion.
From the very beginning, it's been the philosophy of all who are associated with Unity to accept people where they are and to always be in open dialogue. And even Charles was really at first apprehensive about the beginnings of churches, because he was afraid that these teachings would then become dogma, and he didn't like to even refer to unity as a religion, because he felt like over time, as we evolved and as science and our learning evolved, these teachings would then evolve. And so the idea is to remain open, and unity always has. And so we accept people for, you know, where they are. We constantly have open dialogue about, just as you and I are, about the different belief systems that occur, that exist throughout the world. And we allow people to bring their ideas and their differences and coexist with us in unity churches and unity settings, and be right where they are and be okay with it.
September 14th was the Unity World Day of Prayer. This year's theme was Peace in the Midst of All Matters. How does Jim personally achieve inner peace?
For me personally, it's like anything else. It takes practice, and it's a mental exercise. If you can control the mind, you can somewhat control your emotions and what's happening. And so I have been I think over a decade now, practicing meditation and yoga on a daily basis, which is what helps me to get grounded in that. But it really starts with that, the mind and our thoughts. First, we must understand that everyone has what some people refer to as monkey mind, right? The constant chattering. Everyone in the world has that. Lots of people don't talk about it because they think they're the only one that has the voice, the constant voices and chattering in their head. But we all have it. And so the idea is to first get control of that, right? To first recognize that and recognize you are not that constant stream of just criticism and thoughts that's constantly chattering. And so once you understand that you are not that, and that you can sort of separate from that and observe that, then you can begin to say, okay, now that I know that I'm not that, and that I can sort of become an observer of that, then you can say, okay, now I've figured out I can actually control that. I can change those thoughts. I can stop them. I can see that I'm spiraling down a path that's making me anxious or that's making me fearful. And I can choose to say, you know, that's not healthy. I'm going to have a positive thought instead of thinking about these fearful thoughts. I make it sound really easy, but it takes a whole lot of practice, and there are a lot of techniques for how to do that. But to really begin to understand that separation and to separate from that monkey mind is where I think a practice of meditation really helps, because you have to be still so that you can really start to begin to see, I see those thoughts now, and I actually see the voice, and so on and so forth. It doesn't have to be a half hour practice. Lots of people, when you start talking about meditation, they immediately get intimidated and say, oh, I can't do that. I don't have, you know, a half hour out of my day. Well, if you just start with 2 or 3 minutes.
How does unity reach out to the next generation? It's not an easy thing, Jim tells us. There are a lot of inhibitions among young people to make a phone call to the prayer line. So new ways have to be found to interact with them using new online tools.
That's something we're actually struggling with at this point in time. We're spending a lot of time right now trying to discover innovative ways to connect with the younger folks, and new ways to connect with the younger folks. We know that this generation doesn't necessarily like to go to church, but they're looking for something to connect with, right? They're looking for a set of teachings that can help them. And we believe our teachings are in direct alignment with what they're searching for. We just have to frame it in a way that can speak to them. That's one avenue we're exploring. The 24/7 prayer line, we did some demographic research there. The younger folks don't want to call. They like the idea of having the prayer support. And when we actually got them to call, they liked it. But the idea of making the call just was really creepy. They enjoyed the email experience. They would like to be able to text and chat. So we're testing the online chat function for prayer right now. We're spinning up a whole social media presence so people can pray, via Facebook and some of the other social media presences live. And then really, more importantly, though, and what's really near and dear to me is, with all that's happening in the world, how do we get active and actively just actually go do something? How do we take these teachings and then turn them into something that's actually making a difference in the world? You don't just get together, have a group get together, and go feed the homeless one time, and then it's over. I think it should be a constant, hey, we get together, we talk about this, and then we go do something in the community with what we just learned and talked about. And you just do that on a repeated fashion. That seems to be something that's very attractive to the younger generation. And I think it makes a difference in the world, which is really the most important part.
You've been listening to an interview with Jim Blake, the CEO of Unity World Headquarters. You can find more information online at unity.org.